the phenomena which are related to nature, etc., where Chazal were divinely inspired. One of the examples is the Chochmas Ha'ibur. This is what we started with last week. The astrological cheshbon of the moon cycle, etc., which, as we'll see now, it says in the Gemara that this was Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. And now he's going to focus on that a little bit. So let's see. Ugdulas Mal. Now besides that, again, it's not just that they had divinely conveyed information, but the main point that he's getting at is the intellectuality involved. The level of scholarship they had to have in order to be proficient in these things. Meaning at the end of the day, Mi'Sinai or not Mi'Sinai, these are complex areas. So let's see. Ugdulas malas toichenu ibur yedua. The immensity of the astronomical cheshbonis is well known. Umashenikba leuma zois hadolas hachomer hachzokas hatzura. And as we've seen all throughout history, that as pathetic a physical and material state that this nation might be, in spirit, I even mean materially, I'm not talking spiritually now, in spirit, I mean in terms of intellectual achievement, intelligence, drive, etc., it seems to be it's an absolute paradox, right? And we've mentioned often how so many of the Chachmei HaGoyim noted this phenomenon, that the Jew just has this battery, an invisible battery, not visible to the naked eye, right? That just, it functions on such a high level despite all odds, continues to survive as a race and a culture detached for so long from a homeland, right? Which is completely uncanny, and it's a phenomenon of the like that you don't see anywhere else in the world. Both detached from a homeland and downtrodden, persecuted, oppressed. People have been trying to get rid of them for so many years. And not only are they here, but they're thriving and flourishing in spirit. Meaning, intellectually, they're always at the cutting edge. They are, in terms of numbers, in terms of quantitative prominence, they're completely insignificant among the nation, and they're scattered all around. And what are the chances of them continuing? And here he gets into another point, which is not really on our subject. We'll explain how it's related to our subject, but it's back to his general theme. Once again, another manifestation of the divine nature of the Torah is the fact that this is what holds the Jewish people together all around the globe for thousands of years, 2,000 years. Again, they were scattered. Did they simply disintegrate into different cultures? Somehow or the other, there remains a camaraderie and a relationship between Jewish communities that haven't been in touch for hundreds of years. What is that relationship? They share the same Torah. And it's something interesting to note that, again, the Jews continued to exist throughout all this time. What was it that was holding them together? It was the Torah. The way, again, a non-Jewish scholar put it is, the Jews' Torah is the Torah is the portable homeland of the Jewish people. That was a term given by one of the non-Jewish people was able to observe the phenomenon. But was it? I forgot who it was. This I was told by one of my bosses at Art Scroll when he was giving us a pep talk about the importance of our work. But and so it's interesting to note that once outside of Eretz Yisrael, let's say, once they drop it, assimilation sets in pretty quickly. Jewish identity doesn't remain for very long. Once they drop it, you'll have the ones who will come back. Once they drop the Torah, you'll have the ones who will come back. But slowly but surely, you see that the process might take a few generations. Either they come back, or they ultimately end up as the word goes, assimilating, which means they lose that identity. They lose that identity. So once again, you see how the Torah is what manages, it's the lifeboat, the lifeline, that manages to keep the Jewish nation as a nation, as a race, with its own unique characteristics throughout history, scattered all around the world, not in touch with each other, but yet they're one. It's that unifying property. Now, what the Mepharshim say that this is the connected tower discussion, because they say, some of the Mepharshim say that he actually means more specifically the Jewish calendar, which is once again the offshoot of the Chochmah of the Ibur, of the astronomical Cheshbonos. He says it's the
again?
Jewish, the Ibur, well, literally the Ibur means the leap year, but it's everything behind it, all the astronomy going behind it. He says the Jewish calendar specifically is what gives the Jewish nation its unique common characteristics all around the globe. Those are some of the most defining, the most outstanding characteristics of the Jews is the Jewish calendar. Right? Even Haman knew how to point that out to Ahasuerus in his arguments against them. Right? Every day is another holiday. One day it's Pesach, one day it's Shavuos, they can't work, they can't do anything. That is the characteristic, the unifying characteristic that's the glue that keeps the Jews, Lanais, as one unit, scattered around all around the world for over thousands of years.
You know about, let's say, in Yemen, the community there for a very long time, I thought they were the last community left. They probably kept the, but we have evidence that they kept the same dates as those in Europe.
Right. Next time around. Right. That's the point that he's making here. It was always stayed the same. Pesach was always Pesach around the globe. You know, by the way, that there was one point in history that was threatened in the time of Reb Sadia Gaon. There was a big machloikis about that. That was threatened because someone from he was the authority. Someone from Eretz Yisrael, one of the Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael, was questioning his authority in calendarical cheshbonos, and there was a very big danger that there would be two different Jewish calendars. Hashkocha didn't allow that to happen. But Lamais, at the end of the day, we have to note that that's also uncanny. They're all around the world, like you pointed out. Again, if you're talking before, let's say, before this century, well, before the previous century, we're already in the next century, but there were Jews around the world that had no connection to each other whatsoever. I have the Jews in the Middle East, and the Jews in Europe, and the Jews in the different places, yet they were all still keeping to that same, at no point, it's uncanny, again, when you think about it, things that we're so used to that we don't see it as amazing. But that at no point in history it ever happened that something shifted or switched and you end up with four different versions of the Jewish calendar around the globe. This is another manifestation of the divinity. And he's attributing it to the Jewish calendar specifically. Umin amufla shaba shaba ha'ibu ala ikra amekubo min beis David mit kufal savan, and he says one of the most amazing characteristics of Jewish astronomy is this tradition that we have from David regarding Mitkufas Halvana, regarding the lunar cycle. David HaMelech. Yeah. Meaning what happened was, this is the Gemara brings this out, we know that the way it works is, I forget the exact numbers, but that there is a minimum amount of time before the moon can reappear. What we call the Moilad. Before the moon can start again. And that is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 parts of the hour. Meaning, in halacha, for these purposes, the hour is divided into 1,080 parts. Rambam explains that the reason that amount is chosen is just because it's the most very, very, very divisible number, and it's easy to work with mathematically. Whatever it is, that's how we reckon. 1,080 parts. And the month will always be a minimum of 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 parts. Now, what happened was at one point, basically the way they were doing it was, they did it al piyariyah, right? The Rish Chodesh was established based on the sighting of the moon. There was one night that something, it was foggy, people were not seeing things right, and there was testimony that the moon had been sighted after 27 days. People thought they saw the moon. And Rabbi Gamliel said, I have a tradition from my father, from my parents' home, which goes back to David HaMelech, which says that it cannot be in less time than these 29, 12 hours, 793 halakim. 1,080ths of the hour. And that basically is the basis for the way we operate the calendar. So he says, what's that?
They saw UFO.
He said it was foggy and things you couldn't see right, and we're not going to accept it. Can't be. So now, now he says, now this is amazing, because the Jewish calendar is running, is functioning efficiently based on this cheshbon for thousands of years, whereas we mentioned this last week, the calendar among the nations of the world, when that scholars were trying to figure out the cycles, etc., in order to just set it up in a uniform way, they, when they finally thought they got it, after a couple of hundred years, when the fraction of the day that they were off accumulated, and then suddenly they saw that things were off, it had to be readjusted. The Mefarshim here go through a whole sequence of all the different scholars and the conclusions that they reach, each one getting a little closer, but how each one was disproven after a century or two went by, and they saw that once again it was starting to drift off, because being off by a few minutes, the cheshbon will work for a while, until enough years add up that those minutes start accumulating into hours and into days, and the whole cheshbon gets thrown off. So the calendar had to be readjusted every so often as they fine-honed their understanding. Whereas the Jewish calendar was functioning smoothly, never needed to be readjusted.
What was the thing, 0,080?
We calculate the hour as divided by 1,080 parts.
In the terms of a year?
What's that?
What does that mean?
For astronomical purposes,
within a year,
we work with 1,080 parts to the hour. That's arbitrary. That's not it's just arbitrary. Exactly. That was an adjustment. When Gregory had to come along and add days in order to make it work.
They say
or take off days.
Isn't Ador, Aleph, the extra time that we also put in, isn't that the same adjustment?
No, not at all. That way. You can make the adjustment one time if it was an issue of an error. You make the adjustment once, you get it right, and that's it. That's something else. That's in order to have, we're working with two systems simultaneously. The solar cycle and the lunar cycle, which are approximately parallel, but they're not. They're about 11 1/4 days old. And therefore, in order to allow one to catch up with the other, every so often, approximately every 2-3 years, we add another month in order to keep them abreast of each other.
They say the Chinese do that.
Oh yeah? Oh, well, they're right on. They go by the solar and the lunar. Oh, okay. All right, as usual, we're going to stop in mid-sentence. Okay.